Welcome back to the podcast that's Love at First Bite.
That would probably be about right.
Let's call it a night.
A late night delight.
Yeah, late night delight. It's going to treat you right. It's the Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about, for my money, the greatest food ever created, cereal. I am your co-host and cereal enthusiast, Justin McElroy.
I am your co-host and cereal journalist, Dan Goubert. I have to use a question mark there. I'm not sure it's official.
It's on his business cards. It's that's how it's printed. This is a show that allows you, the listener, to unplug, relax, and hear about cereal. We're going to talk about some new cereals that are coming down the pike, the future. We're going to talk about the present cereal with some reviews, talk about cereals that are here today and ready for you. And then we're going to talk about cereals of the past, gone but not forgotten friends, cereal world.
A trip through time.
Trip through time. Sounds pretty fine. Now the rhyme is getting a little out of hand. Dan, I would love to hear about, I'm very much looking forward to our review segment this week, but I am going to show a lot of restraint and instead ask you, what are some of the new cereals that are headed our way?
So yeah, there have been more than a few sort of late bloomers in the new cereal season. As spring sort of approaches, it goes from a lull after the start of the year hype. So things were a bit slower, but we did get some random news about two new Kellogg cereals. One of them being Birthday Cake Fruit Loops, which we already had in Canada for their country's birthday, but are now coming to America. But now they look more like sort of... if you recall, the Canadian Birthday Cake Fruit Loops are just like little red rings with little white sprinkles. But here in the U.S., they're going to sort of just look like a Mardi Gras peep cereal almost. So that same sort of color palette, but made a bit more royal in a way. And I don't know word on whether the flavor will be different, but considering how many of the new Kellogg cereals lately have just been variants of sort of a sugar ring, it might be safe to say that it'll just be another subtle tweak of the formula we saw in, say, the unicorn cereal or the pink donut cereal.
Yeah, if it has a unique flavor. Did the catacorn have a different flavor, supposedly?
Yeah, it was basically like, if you remember the Fruity Lucky Charms, if you took that particular blend of, you know, acrid fruit and sort of swallowed it in a marshmallow, it's that very sort of subdued and more tranquilized fake fruitness. But I don't know. I think when Unicorn did the magical cupcake, it was still a bit better.
What else we have coming up?
Yeah, we wasted a bit too much time talking about Birthday Cake Fruit Loops because the better half of that news pairing was Chocolate Peanut Butter Pops, which, if you follow Corn Pops lore at all, which it's not hard to do because it's very short, you know that Corn Pops doesn't get a lot of weird variants, and it usually only gets like a different color. For some reason, Corn Pops was really focused on going all in on Halloween for a while. I think there were three different Halloween Corn Pops.
Wow.
One of which being Candy Corn Pops, which I think was, you know, probably a really left field pick for one of its seemingly like biennial new flavors at best. But this time around, we're getting something that's a bit more logical in chocolate peanut butter. Maybe not the best compliment for sort of Corn Pop's popcorniness, in a sense. I'm not sure if they could have salted them, perhaps, would be my bet. Salted caramel pops. But I think this is a solid dessert choice all the same.
I don't think that Pops gets enough play or enough credit with its... It's a very satisfying cereal. It's a very unique flavor, and I think one of my favorite textures in cereal.
Yeah, it's definitely one of a kind, especially considering how, like in Canada, the Corn Pops are totally different, and they're just sort of like Corn Puffs. Yeah, I think we got the better end of the deal with the great corn pops treaty. Sorry.
Any other new cereals headed our way?
So maybe not our way, but Kellogg's of Australia is also launching a mermaid Fruit Loops. It's interesting that when these things appear overseas, they usually keep the fruit on the loops, because they got unicorn Fruit Loops, whereas we just got unicorn cereal. I don't know if we're going to get mermaid loops stateside anytime soon, but it doesn't seem like these are any differently flavored than normal Fruit Loops either, just based on what I've been reading. I don't have a very wide correspondence in the Australian cereal game, so if anybody knows more, they can sort of tweet it at us.
You gotta step it up. Mm-hmm. Australian cereal connoisseurs.
Yeah, I mean, and Kellogg's is really just going in on these sort of mythical creature types, too. I don't really know what the insight was there.
I'm sorry, Dan, I can't wait anymore to get into the reviews for this week, because this week you and I have both eaten Honey Bunches of Oats, chicken and waffles, and maple bacon donut.
The dark prophecy has been fulfilled.
I don't know why I didn't want to eat it as I was putting it in my mouth.
I warned you about the maple bacon donut. Yeah. I told you to take it slow, think about it, think it through, but misery loves its company.
You know what? Let's take these as individual units. let's talk about chicken and waffles first. What did you think?
So, I was pretty receptive towards this cereal. I wanted to like it a lot from the start because it has those clear waffle crisp pieces in there. I knew from the start it was indisputably them, probably sort of a holdover stock from when it was discontinued. But it seems like that's an easier pairing to balance in cereal form, and I think they pulled that off very well, and that the final product kind of just tastes, to me at least, like barbecue waffle crisps, or sort of like, you know, twangy down home country baked home fried waffle crisp. Mm-hmm. What was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's more, it's less like, it's hard to put. It's less like you get the chicken flavor and more like you get the like grease of a like fried on a griddle sort of pancake, that kind of like the little bit of undercurrent of savoriness that you sometimes get from that. I think what was helpful for me, I think, in contextualizing the cereal was, in much the same way that pumpkin spice is not actually a pumpkin flavor, but rather the spice that goes along with that pumpkin pie, I think that the chickenness of chicken and waffles is much more about like the fat and salt flavors that go along with chicken rather than any sort of like umami chickenness. And I liked it. You know what? Interestingly, my main sort of problem with the cereal, and this, you could probably actually speak to this and whether this is a waffle crisp holdover, but those waffle pieces just lost their structural integrity really quickly. And like those and the flakes turned mushier a lot quicker than I would have liked, and I think made it like just slightly less palatable because of the mushiness.
Are you talking about in milk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once they hit milk.
So you approach this cereal with milk in mind. I'm kind of just reserving it as more of a dry only sort of deal.
Sure. I did want to try it all together, and it was not bad. Flavor wise, not bad. But the waffle crust just went fast.
That's true. That's true. I mean, would you see any sort of benefit to picking out the chicken pieces, maybe, and using them to pair with other cereals? I've heard of people trying it already.
Kind of getting the chicken pieces in with what? What's a good pairing there?
I mean, there are all kinds of recipes for making Cap'n Crunch breaded chicken out there, so I think that would be the one that I would try, is just throw some of those chests in there.
It sounds good. I gotta admit, like, I liked the chicken pieces, like, more than I thought I would. I ate some of those by themselves. It was pretty good. Like, it's a different thing, but once you open your heart to it, I think that it is okay. Maple bacon donuts, on the other hand, this cereal It's weird that they got something as sort of like nuanced as Chicken and Waffles, right? And then this one, they whiff. So, okay, so you go first, and I will follow up after you, because you are the most eloquent when discussing breakfast cereal, I believe.
I have to give Post props for sort of coming through and helping me get this stuff. Literally, I had to rush across the neighborhood to different houses to get the stuff in time for National Cereal Day. But I have to speak honestly about maple bacon donuts and say that my sentiment was about the same as all of my friends who tried it as well, because that's going to be the main purpose of the box now, is to give my friends to try as a party trick of sorts. But they all said it tasted sort of like dog treats, and you know, once you hear somebody say that and you're just sort of, you're eating them out of your hand almost, and you put two and two together, and the response of repulsion is just, you know, Pavlovian, of course, at that point. So
yeah, it's I have a problem with, okay, so there is pretty much any time that I have had a bacon flavor injected in anything. And that could be like, I mean, it could be literally any sort of like injection of bacon flavor. Or when you have bacon bits, I would level the same complaint of bacon bits, where it is almost more like a, takes on almost kind of like a processed Slim Jim sort of flavor. Like it's closer, you know what I mean? Like closer to Slim Jims, like that processed sausage, processed meat sort of flavor. And that is definitely what I was getting. It's very like salty and porcine and not really like evocative of bacon itself. And that is definitely the flavor that I was getting from maple bacon donuts. And it was weirdly like less pronounced than you might think. And for me, that was almost more sinister. It would be like every fourth bite, I'd be like, what is that? I got a bunk one. It was very strange. I would say the flakes also are a weird combo here with the get, because like it starts to feel more like pork rinds. Because it's that crackly, you know, flake flavor with the fake bacon flavor. It's just very, very, I found it to be very unappealing.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like Bake-O's specifically.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Because there was like a bottle of that in my family's fridge, and we also would buy real bacon bits, so you know those was what we were going for first. But that same jar of Bake-O's was always there, and sometimes I would just smell the Bake-O's to remind myself and to be grateful for what I have, because, you know, the comparison is pretty bleak. And, you know, and that's why I wish that comparison again onto maple bacon donuts.
Now, to revisit kind of a classic, what prompted you to get some King Vitamin?
So, yeah, I was trying to trade some cereals with my friend Jared, who also writes the occasional review for the blog, and he wanted to write about Lucio O's. So I traded him for this box of King. My brain wants to say Vitaman, like sort of the Vitaman sort of toys, specific reference there. But I know it's Vitaman, King Vitaman cereal. So he sent me this box, and I don't know, it seems pretty 50-50 on whether people acknowledge the existence of King Vitaman in the year 2019, because you either can find him at like weird outlet stores if you're the type of person who looks for old cereals at outlet stores, which I am, sometimes. Or, you know, you thought that it was discontinued decades ago, because it was kind of in its prime, I believe, in the 70s. There were three different King Vitamin, I guess, so to speak. There was one animated one who was pretty sort of modest compared to the current iteration, who's more wizardly. And in between those was, of course, the live-action King Vitaman, who
I love that cat. You know,
a lot more people were fond of him. He was a very cult, well-remembered figure, cult classic figure. So, basically, if you haven't had King Vitaman. This is really throwing me off, by the way, having to pause every time. It's going to slip out, folks, so please don't correct me. So the weird thing about King Vitaman cereal is that it just tastes like Cap'n Crunch with, like, half the sugar. So, like, the LaCroix of Cap'n Crunch. One-to-one comparison, if you can imagine that. It's good. It's, like, way pointier than Cap'n Crunch, so if you can imagine it hurting the roof of your mouth even more. He's an authoritarian ruler of sorts. But I think what really sold me on this box of King Vitaman cereal is that the side of it has King Vitaman's Court of Riddles, and I think I need to walk you through these just really quick, if you don't mind.
Yes, please. I insist.
There's a cadence to the answers that just sort of takes me somewhere else. But first of all, what time was it when the king's feet hurt?
I have no idea.
Turn the box upside down. It was time to change shoes. It gets better. It gets better.
It doesn't. It can't. Which of
King Vitaman's cereal...
Yes, you've got this, Dan. You've got this.
Which of King Vitaman's knights weighs 300 pounds?
I don't know.
Sir Lunchalot. That's a riddle.
It's
You're
not
supposed
a
to
riddle.
Solve that with your intellect. Number three. There's six here. You got to keep up.
Okay, you're right. I got to get one of these.
What runs around the king's castle?
The moat?
Mice.
Mice. Okay.
A really great admission to make on the king's cereal.
Damn, it
really
that's
makes
the
me
worst
hungry for king's
cereal. Yeah. Entire life.
Okay, now here's my personal favorite. It's a tough one, okay. So think carefully. Number four. What's the king's favorite cereal?
King Vitaman.
It's King Vitaman. They just shoved an advertisement for their own cereal on the side of the box that you already bought.
In no way a riddle.
So number five, how much cereal does the kingdom eat each day?
I don't know.
A moat load.
A moat load. Okay, so now we're going to talk about moats?
Yeah, it's interesting pacing. So we finish strong with, what's the king's favorite sporting event?
I don't know.
Dragon racing. That one just baffles me perhaps the most because there's nothing there.
No basis for that at all. At all. No basis.
So yes, King Vitaman cereal is very much an exercise in obscure absurdism for breakfast lovers out there.
That's rough. That's honestly rough. I would love, Dan, if you could take a moment to talk to me about cereal myths.
Yeah, I didn't expect to be doing so many cereal myths, but these strange and interesting stories from cereal's past keep cropping up. So I wanted to talk about a not really that mysterious cereal that cropped up on Reddit recently, and that is the Transformers cereal from... I believe it was the mid-1980s that was not released. So I was stumbling on the cereal subreddit. Have you ever been on there before, by the way?
No, I'm subscribing as we speak.
It's kind of like this weird, lawless land of cereal fandom where, like, the very highbrow cereal humor and sometimes the lowbrow just sort of intermingle in this community that's, you know, just global cereal lovers expressing themselves very freely. So I'd recommend it. But on here I found a story that read, met the R&D lead of Ghostbuster and The Legend of Zelda cereal last night at a bar. This is by Erock1, by the way. So he says, I was sitting at a bar in Wisconsin after a long day of working on a business trip. A guy starts to talk to me. We talk about our jobs. He explains he is a processing food engineer. He makes sure new food startup lines go as they should. Then he starts to explain that he was an R&D lead that made the Ghostbuster cereal and Legend of Zelda cereal, which, by the way, is the Nintendo cereal system, a very, you know, cult favorite cereal in its time.
What a classic.
So he goes on to say that the man at the bar, he had neat details on how they used to clean the Ghostbuster dye with dental floss. Production room hack, I guess.
Yes, sir.
If you remember,
that's sort of like the you go from the mail room to that to that gig.
So he continues, if you remember, the shape of the cereal was the symbol that went over the ghost, the circle with a line through it. He also said he made special cereal for a wedding party. They were keys from the Zelda cereal that were chocolate instead of the vanilla kind in the cereal. So I have to pause this story right here,
yes.
Because
yes,
that's, a,
yeah,
that's a myth within a myth that I think is just the true story here. If there were any chance of me ever finding out anything about this beyond just this one obscure story of some guy who could have been making all this up, that would have been a great story to leave on the internet. But
what a wild pull, though. I mean, if he is making it up. And I thought the Nintendo cereal system wasn't it all fruit?
I'm not sure. There were definitely key pieces on the Zelda half.
Yes, there are for sure key pieces. But if you go back and look, this was my memory of the cereal. And now, like, going back and looking at it, like, it definitely looks like entirely fruit flavored. But it is possible. I guess, like, vanilla would not be the wildest. Like, it's more berry. That's what they said that. Mario was fruity and Zelda was berry. So it's
berries
possible.
And cream.
Vanilla
berries and
might
cream
be a
is possible.
Yeah. Or maybe this guy didn't remember the cereal he made 30 years ago. I mean, one specific piece in a cereal he made 30 years ago was flavored. That might be, he may have gotten that wrong too. It's possible.
Listen, if there's anyone I want guest starring on this podcast, it's the man who told this long story of, you know, his Zelda cereal history to a lonesome stranger in sort of the bar.
See, I'd kind of like to meet the stranger who would listen to this story and was like, damn, I gotta get this on the internet.
I know. I just need to know the truth. Maybe if you're the type of person who went to a wedding, maybe, and you remember a certain chocolate key cereal,
yeah,
I don't think
please.
That's something you would forget. But yes, please let us know about that. So,
but there's more.
Yeah,
there's
there was
more.
Just a commercial break in the middle of the Transformer story. So we come back to, then, the coolest part was, he explained that he made a Transformer cereal that did not make it to market. It was a cereal that would have a coating on it, and when hit with milk, would dissolve and make your milk chocolate. Which must have been really just, I guess, stunning to someone who has not had most chocolate cereals.
Right.
There's someone out
there.
You've
literally never encountered a chocolate cereal in your life. I bet that was quite the stunt.
I'd be more impressed by sort of a chocolate cereal that retains it all within itself. But
right.
Anyway, he told me.
Oh, the gimmick was that it transformed the milk. I get it. I get it.
Anyway, he continues, he told me the processing and vibration would shake off the coating before it made it to the box, so I don't know whether that makes it more effective or less effective, but he said someone stole the box and put the picture out on the net, which is amazing to me that that's what someone risked life and limb for.
But then it's great because then you've also found the exact home of that image that someone purloined.
You know, I was really hoping the end to this would just be that, and that man who stole the box was me.
You're right.
But no, he just ends that, I went to the Transformers wiki page and updated the serial wiki. Anyway, it was fun and interesting.
The Transformers page, I think the wiki there is called the Samwit wiki. Great Transformers joke. The movie Transformers.
I do want to point out one more thing about Transformers cereal, if we may.
Please. Boring it looks. How the pieces look like raisinettes.
Yeah.
They're not in any way inspiring.
Sort of just like withered Cocoa Puffs, in a sense.
Brutal.
But if you go to sort of the Mr. Breakfast page on there, I really like what Mr. Breakfast put together for this. He says, if the cereal had actually gone into production, our listing for the cereal would look something like this, based solely on the test box produced. And he writes, on the box, a half-truck/half-robot characters, known to Transformers fans as Optimus Prime, is shown holding a gun to a bowl of the cereal, alluding to the idea that the Transformer character might be responsible in some way for transforming ordinary milk into chocolate milk. It's also possible that the character's gun shoots round chocolate cereal pieces. The narrative behind the image is unclear.
Okay.
So, I think that really says all you need to know about Transformer cereal.
Thank you so much, Dan, for all the cereal information you have related to us. I'm extremely excited about all the cereals coming down the pike. I'm excited that I left my boxes of Honey Bunches of Oats over at my in-laws, so I don't have to stress about it anymore. They liked them. It's really kind of cereal to pass along to friends and say, here, I don't know, you try this. What do you make of it?
It's a family heirloom eventually. Yeah.
What else can people expect to find at cerealously.net currently?
You know, we're spotting a lot of the returning favorites this year, the Reese's Puffs Bunnies, which are coming for Easter. And we're also getting in sort of some fascinating news about Lucky Charms doing another All Marshmallows box giveaway, if you remember when they did that before.
Mm.
So I'm going to try and get my hands on another one. I've gotten my fair share of All Marshmallow boxes in the past, and I'm looking to expand the lineage.
The Breaking Bad thing that is coming to FYE, wherever on Earth FYE still exists... is that all marshmallows? Is that the idea?
I think so. They're supposed to be the blue sky marshmallows. But it's like a pretty high amount of money just for sort of the cereal box marshmallows. I approve of the concept. I mean, we're a little bit ways away from Breaking Bad airing, so I don't know where this spark of creativity came from. But yeah, if that's sort of your scene to put blue marshmallows in every other cereal, you can... shell out your, I think it's like $10 to $12.
Sheesh. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. If you want to support the show, we would really appreciate that. Just head over to bowl.rest and you can sponsor our show there. Kick it in, you know, 99 cents a month just to say, hey, I like this and I would like to keep this going. It helps to run Cerealously and it helps to fill the shelves of a food bank here in Huntington, West Virginia. So you can really feel good about that. Bowl.rest is where you can go to do that.
Your money is putting cereal on shelves.
Yep. In more ways than one.
And, exactly.
and if you can't spring for the cash, maybe you could leave us a review on iTunes or a subscription or pass the link along to friends. We sure appreciate it. That is going to do it for us, though. My name is Justin McElroy for Dan Goubert. Thank you for listening to The Empty Bowl. And as always,
don't forget to drink the milk.
The milk. Boy, in sync is tough. I will say that. In sync. Doing it in sync is challenging.